At this time, I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. What we have looked at over the past couple of weeks in chapter 2, we have seen how our Lord Jesus Christ partook of flesh and blood, and then how he took of the seed of Abraham, and he became one of us, just like unto us. He became flesh. And therefore, that made him become a merciful and faithful high priest. So in chapter 3, we start out with the word wherefore. In some versions, you might find the word therefore. Anytime you read the word wherefore or therefore, you've got to look before and see what it is talking about. What is the Word of God talking about? When we read this passage of Scripture, or just this one verse of Scripture in chapter 3 and verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Wherefore refers back to what we have just looked at, how our Lord became flesh and how he partook of the flesh and was of the seed of Abraham and how he became a merciful and faithful high priest. Here the verse of Scripture in chapter 3 and verse 1, we see our Lord Jesus Christ once again called the high priest. I want to remind you who our Lord, or actually who the Word of God here is speaking to directly. As the writer to the Hebrews, as he is writing to Jewish believers. There are others that would be recipients of this letter. They would be Jews that were not believers, but that have heard the gospel. There would be Jews who have not heard the gospel. There would be some who have committed to Christ. There would be some that were not committed to Christ. But I want you to notice here, it says, wherefore, holy brethren. The word brethren, Jews use that language just like Christians use that language. They call one another brothers. And we as Christians, when we meet other Christians, we call them brothers and sisters. So here, what the Word of God is talking about, he's calling certain ones, he's addressing holy brethren. The word holy means, in the Greek, it's the Greek word hagios. It means sanctified. It means to be set apart. It means, another word for it is saints. When we think about saints, these are those who have been set apart by God to serve God and to worship God. When you think about it, like the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 2, Paul addresses the church at Colossae and he talks to the saints that are there at Colossae. The Catholic Church, I believe, makes people saints after they die. The Word of God calls people saints those who are living and those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have professed faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You look back in chapter 2 and down in verse 11, the Word of God says, for both he that sanctifieth, that word sanctifieth, the root word is hagios, once again, it's talking about the one who makes holy. It is God who makes someone holy. And then the Word of God says in verse 11 also, and they who are sanctified are those who are made holy. It is God who makes certain ones holy. He is the one who is the sanctifier, and he is the one who sanctifies people. Those who are sanctified are the ones who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is a positional sanctification, I guess you could say. Those who have trusted in Christ, they are sanctified, set apart, they are saints. But there is also that progressive sanctification. In other words, we're not all what we're going to be. In other words, there is no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. We believe God is at work with us, in us, and working through us, conforming us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how he does that, he has set us apart, and he's continuing to work in us and work through us and to sanctify us. Let me give you some passages of Scripture concerning that, because this word, it's actually an adjective. Look in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, look down in verse 10. The Word of God says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." God, it's His will that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God does the sanctifying, making one holy, making one a saint. Look in verse 14. "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Now in the Greek you would read that, He has by one offering, and that's the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has perfected them forever, those that are being sanctified. It is the Lord that's working in us that He might work through us. In chapter 3 and verse 1, He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren." You notice the word holy here, the word hagios, it is an adjective. It modifies the noun brethren, holy brothers. Holy brothers and sisters in this context. Who are these holy brothers that He is addressing? It is those that have been born of the Spirit, those that have been born from above. It is those who have turned from their sin and they profess faith in Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried and that He rose again, and that He's coming back again someday. Those have the new birth. Now, what is the proof of someone who has the new birth? How do we know someone who has been born again? The Word of God tells us there's a couple different ways, more than one different way, but there's quite a few ways. One of the ways I want you to notice, one, it says, it talks about, "You shall know them by their fruit." You shall know them by what they put forth. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, and down in verse 10, the Word of God says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He," that is God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." If you're a child of God, you're a partaker of the holiness of God. Look in verse 14. The Word of God tells us, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So here is a marker of a child of God. Here's how one knows one is a child of God, is that they follow or they pursue after holiness and peace. I want you to follow this train of thought as you go over to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I want to point out a few passages of Scripture where it talks about the importance of holiness in the life of a believer. In chapter 1 and down in verse 15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." In all your lifestyle is what it's talking about with your conversation. It's not just talking about your words. It's talking about your whole manner of living. "In all of your whole manner of living, be ye holy, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." If you've been born of God, God is calling us to be holy. He has already sanctified us, made us holy. Now we need to work out that which is within us. We need to be progressing in that sanctification. Look in chapter 2 and verse 9 of 1 Peter. The Word of God says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The Word of God says we're a holy nation, a holy people. And God has made us holy. He separated us unto Himself that we might serve Him and bring forth praises unto Him, because He's called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. He's called us out of a sinful way of life unto a way of life where we're progressing in holiness. We're following after our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and looking down in verse 5, it says, For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. This is talking about the Old Testament times. There were holy women of old, and they were separated unto God, and they worshiped God. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and look down in verse 11. The Word of God tells us, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" With the virus that has come, that is a pandemic, it's worldwide, many people believe it's the end of time. You know what? We need to be looking for our Lord's return each and every day. I do not believe the virus is going to destroy this world, according to the Word of God, from what we're reading right here. The Word of God tells us that this whole world is going to be dissolved, the heavens and the earth, with a fervent heat. And because of that, you ought to be holy in all your conversation. That's all your lifestyle and your godliness. You ought to be holy in everything you do. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, the way you treat others. We are called as God's people to be a holy people because He is holy. In other words, this is not an option when it comes to being a child of God. You do not get to choose whether you're going to be holy or whether you're going to be ungodly. God commands us to be holy because He is holy. And we've been born of the Spirit, born from above. Therefore, we need to be resembling our Heavenly Father. I want you to notice there is another modifier here in this context of Scripture. When we look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, holy brethren." There are holy brethren, that those are the ones who are saved, and they're also described as partakers of the heavenly calling. Here, notice what the Word of God says. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. The word partaker means partners. We are partners in a heavenly calling. If you are a child of God, you are a partner with me and I'm a partner with you in a heavenly calling. Now, what is this heavenly calling? I find this very fascinating, how this modifies believers. There is a call that goes out to all people. As we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and lived a perfect life that we could not do, He fulfilled the law which we had broken. He paid the penalty for our sins, was crucified, put to death, buried, and on the third day, up from the grave, He arose, triumphant over sin and death. And whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a general call. It goes out to all. Everybody who's just heard that, there's a call of the gospel to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's a general call. What's a general call? Let me give it in more common language. When I was younger, my mom would call us to supper. That's a general call. You know what? If we didn't go to supper, we didn't get supper. That call goes out to each and every one of us as far as my brother and sister and myself. There is also not only a general call that goes out to all. The gospel is to preach unto all creatures, is what the Word of God says. But there is also a particular call in the Word of God. In other words, if my mom said to me, "Steve, supper's ready, come and get it," I best be coming to get it. Because what she would do if I did not come, my dad would come to get me. We wouldn't want that. Not when I was little. The particular call is those who respond to the call. Let me give you another example. if we were meeting as a congregation, and after this meeting of the congregation, we're Baptists, we love to eat, and we were to go downstairs for a fellowship and have a big meal. You know what? I would invite everybody to come. But only those who responded to the call are those who heard the particular call. Here, the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling comes from God Himself. It is the Spirit of God. The Word of God describes it as quickening. It means to make alive. The Spirit of God applies the truth of God's Word, convicts us of our sinfulness, and He draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. As He convicts and draws, we repent of our sin and we turn by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an effectual call. An effectual call is a call that produces a particular effect. When God calls, God has an effect with that call. In other words, this calling is a heavenly calling. It is a high and holy calling that comes from God. Therefore, we are to walk worthy of that calling, is what the Scriptures tell us. Now, we pause here for a moment in chapter 3 and verse 1 and just made it halfway through the verse, because the writer is writing to someone in particular. He's writing to holy brethren and sistren, holy brothers and sisters. He's writing to people who are partakers of the heavenly calling, those who have been born again, those who are children of God, those who have by faith trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, before we even move further, because here who's he's addressing, in particular believers in that day and time, in our day and time, it's the believers in our day and time. So, I must ask the question, is this passage of Scripture addressing you? Can you be called a saint? A holy person. Positionally, you're in Christ, you're holy. It's a progressive work. He's working on you, cleaning you up. This morning, as I look out across the congregation, I see a lot of bald-headed, smiling people. Names. There are names all across the back of the pews. And as I look at different names, what I can say, I can see Sister Becky. I can see Brother Maury. I can see Sister Ann. I can see Brother Wayne. I can see Brother Jeff and Sister Lisa. I can see saints. I can call you Saint Helen. Not Mount Saint Helen, but you understand what I'm saying. A saint. There's Saint Steve and Saint Beth. Saint Danny. There's Saint Amber over there. If you're a child of God, you are a saint right at this time. Now, your spouse might not think that way, but the Word of God declares you that way if you're a child of God. I want you to notice the exhortation just in this verse of Scripture. This verse of Scripture is addressing holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, those who are saints, those who are children of God, believers, Christians, children of God. And he's exhorting them to what? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, our confession, Christ Jesus. Here is the exhortation. Consider Christ Jesus. It's addressed to believers. Believers are to consider Christ Jesus. Now, why are believers, if they've trusted in Christ already, why should Christians consider Christ Jesus? This I know, that though I've trusted in Christ, I'm still a man in need of a Savior. Each and every day, I'm in need of the Lord. You think of these believers that he was originally writing to. They were persecuted. They were going to be tortured. The oppression was coming. Many would be tempted to turn back and to draw back. Therefore, here is this word of exhortation. Consider the apostle and high priest. When you think about it in our day and time, we are a people. We have been told not to assemble together. We have been told that license plates will be taken. You will be reported. It is, as I mentioned, I believe it was last week, we're very close to what is called an underground church that you find in communist countries like in China. We look at the virus, coronavirus, COVID-19, and you hear so many stories and rumors, and one expert says this, one expert says that. What are we to believe? We hear the issues of abortion. We hear people who cry out for the unborn to kill them. A woman has her choice. It's her body. It's her rights. And it doesn't matter if it affects the little child inside. We are persecuted even in our day and time. Because of that, because of the present time we live in, let me encourage you to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. There's a songwriter who's actually a pastor down in Florida now. His name's Steve Camp. I copied the words of a song. I thought it was very appropriate. As we are called to consider Christ Jesus, the words of this song is, "He's all you need." The words go like this. Won't sing it because of copyright laws, but you can pick up Steve Camp's CD and listen to him. It says, "When you're all alone, your heart is torn, he is all you need. When you're confused, your soul is bruised, he is all you need. He's the rock of your soul, he's the anchor that holds through your desperate time. When your way is unsure, his love will endure. A peace you will find. Through all your years, the joy, the tears, he is all you need. When you give in to that familiar sin, he is all you need. Guilt has you paralyzed. It slowly eats you alive. He is all you need. He'll be faithful to you, though your heart is untrue and your love's grown cold. His forgiveness is real. It'll comfort and heal your sin-weary soul. Well, God loves you so, he'll never let you go. He is all you need. He'll be faithful to you, though your heart is untrue and your love's grown cold. His forgiveness is real to comfort and heal your sin-weary soul. Through all your years, the joy, the tears, he is all you need." So much truth to that song. Jesus Christ is all we need. He is all we need. Therefore, we need to consider him. It's what we are exhorted to do in verse 1 of chapter 3. How do we consider him? You know what? When you think upon our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot exhaust the depths of his wisdom and of his riches, the wonder of his love. As you contemplate, as you consider to gaze upon him, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I brought a little guest with me this morning I'd like to share with you. I'd like to show you a little object I purchased many years ago. And I guess my hand's going to get big, and so is this, a little baby that is actually a 2 to 12 week old preborn baby. If you look at that baby, it's about the size of my thumb. A very unique person. It's a human being. Life that began at conception. This little baby would be living in a mother's womb if it was alive, inside an amniotic sac, and fed through its own lifeline, through the umbilical cord, and it has its own root system, a placenta. The baby's probably about 1.5, 2 inches long, easily fits in the palm of the hand. This baby, if it was alive, the heart would be beating. It has brain waves, and all its body systems are present. This baby has fingerprints, toe prints, can squint and swallow, retract its tongue, and can even make a fist. Yes, this baby can feel pain if it were alive. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, known even of God within our mother's womb. It is not just a piece of material. It is a living person. We live in times where there are a lot of people that are very shallow doctrinally, biblically, theologically. And the reason that is because they do not consider Christ Jesus. I want you to listen to just a few verses of Scripture in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4 and down in verse 13, the Word of God says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You see, the apostles considered Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, Matthew's gospel in chapter 11, and down in verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Jesus Christ is who we need to be looking to. He is the author, the beginner, the finisher, the ender of our faith. He is the one who brings our faith to full completion. We are told and exhorted to in chapter 3 and verse 1 of Hebrews to consider Christ Jesus. This word consider, very interesting Greek word, is kata naeo. That naeo means the mind. And it means to direct one's mind to an object. The object of our faith is our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be directing our minds to Him. We are to consider Him. That means to think about very carefully. We're to fasten your mind down upon Christ Jesus. And notice how the author, the writer here in Hebrews, instructs us to consider Christ Jesus. We are to consider Him first as the apostle. Now, what does the word apostle mean? The word apostle very simply means to be sent, or the sent one. Listen to what it says in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5 in verse 36 through 38, Jesus says, "But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not." Listen to what it says back in verse 30. "I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Here is the apostle, Christ Jesus, the sent one. Another word for the apostle means an ambassador, one who represents someone else. In Christ Jesus, the Son represents God the Father. He is sent forth into this world to bring God to us. God came down to man because man cannot reach up to God. Man is in the slough of despond. He is in the sin pit. And man cannot reach up to God. It is God who came down to man to rescue man from God. But notice the Word of God goes on to say, "Consider the apostle and high priest." Now, a high priest is one who brings the people to God. You remember Aaron had the ephod, the plate, and he had all the names of the tribes of Israel written across his heart. And what he did, he would come once a year and put blood upon the ark of the covenant, cross that mercy seat, representing the people and bringing the people by representation to God. That is what Christ has done for us. He represents his people to the Father. Consider him. Think upon him. Ponder him. Gaze upon him, the apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession. Our confession is Christ Jesus. Our confession is in the high priest. He is our apostle. He is the one that's been sent down to us, Christ Jesus. We are to consider him. This morning I challenge you to consider our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just trust him and then go about your everyday business, but keep on considering him. Focus upon him as we're going through this trying time. And as we go through times where people want to separate God's people from God's people, and as we're going through this time where they want to commit open border and butcher shops, and how the murder clinics are open while churches are to remain closed because they're essential. We are not. Here's what we're to do in this trying time. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Think upon him. Ponder him. Look unto him. And as you get responses from people when you talk to them about the issues that we go through in life, never lose sight of Christ Jesus. Here's one thing I've found in responding to people who differ with me on whatever issue it might be. Might be the president, might be the governor, it might be abortion, it might be marijuana, it might be whatever it might be. I cannot respond in the flesh, because that's how they're going to respond to me. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, We are to be focusing upon our Lord Jesus Christ and showing the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. They know not our Lord Jesus Christ. I so wanted to get through all the way to verse 6, but you see, I'm just at verse 1. But there's enough to ponder right there until we come back to get through verse 6. May I exhort you this morning to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. I pray that you would turn your hearts toward the Lord Jesus. Focus upon Him. Consider Him. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before your throne as holy brothers and sisters in Christ, partakers of your heavenly calling. And we call upon your name. Lord, we all stand in need of you. We need you daily. We need your guidance by your Spirit. We need your Spirit to work through us using your Word as the sword of the Spirit to pierce to even the dividing asunder of the thoughts and intents. Lord, we pray that your Word would penetrate deeply into other people's lives, that you would work an effectual work, that your people would gaze upon you intently to consider and learn of you. Help us, Lord. Give us eyes of understanding. Give us an obedient heart for Christ's sake. Amen.